You are Locked On Texans, your daily Houston Texans podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm light years away from where I was, you know, last year coming in. Just a rookie, just kind of knowing what I knew from college and what I learned in the pre-draft and then what I learned in the QB room. Everything was going so fast, a lot of information at that time, but having a full season and all season with Coach OB and Coach Sean Ryan, being able to, you know, advance my game and take my game to another level has been great.
You should know that voice by now. It's Deshaun Watson, of course, and how good can he be if he says he's light years away from where he was last year? In today's show, we'll hear a little more from Deshaun from Wednesday's minicamp, and I'll go one-on-one with the projected Texans left tackle, Julione Davenport. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Robert Land from the Houston Sports Talk Podcast, alongside my partner and co-host Brian Patterson from House of Houston. Thanks for jumping on the Locked On Texans podcast. We are your best daily source of Texans news, views, and interviews. We're also part of the FanRag Sports Network. Let's hit on a little news from minicamp, and unfortunately for Texans fans loving to hear about the progress of this team, this was the last day of practice on the field before West Virginia in a couple of months. They've got some meetings on Thursday inside, but no more practice outside in the heat and humidity and the fun of a Houston summer. They've called off the last day of practice, and instead that's all it's going to be on Thursday. And Brian, the only real nerves for any of us was when we saw DeAndre Hopkins on a cart being carried off the field, but then you saw he was smiling and fine. I guess they were just taking him on just one of those pleasure trips on the cart.
I guess so. I mean, anytime you see him on a cart, you start biting your nails and wondering what the heck's going on. But it's good that he was smiling, and maybe he just needed a ride to his car. I don't know. Maybe he didn't want to walk. I don't know. But it's just good to hear that he's fine. But what's into him calling off practice for tomorrow? Did they do that well today? So that way they called it off for tomorrow. I don't know if you knew anything or any inside stuff, or did Bill have any type of body language indicating that they had done well in practice?
I just think it's routine. This is what they've done in years past. And, I mentioned news, and I don't know if this is really earth shattering, but Tyler Irvin officially cleared for training camp. Last year he had that torn patellar tendon that he spent the last few months recovering from. So that was a minor story. Much more important to all of you is the progress of Deshaun Watson and that knee. Yesterday I told you about how he'd shed the knee brace, and here's what he had to say on his overall condition.
The knee is doing good, able to do some things, you know, on the field with the team, physically wise. For the 9-week goal that we put in from the beginning, I'm pretty much where I wanted to be, kind of past it, you know, inside in the weight room, mentally, and also on the field. So everything's going smoothly right now. I'm not really surprised. I kind of knew where I was going to be because I put the time and the effort and the work in every morning. You know, I've just been grinding, so I'm not surprised at all. I'm right where I need to be and where I want to be.
All of that sounds pretty good, Brian. Let's go ahead and magic marker him into week one of the preseason, I guess.
You can go on and pencil him in. You know, he'll get a few reps, but we're not going to play him too long. I mean, we want to see him get enough to show that he's going to be okay. But, I would gently use him in the preseason. You know, I'd save him until week one of the regular season. But it's good he's right where he wants to be. That's what he said. We were wondering how, because these ACL injuries, you know, you don't know how long it takes to come back from them. But the fact that he's fine, his knee feels okay. He was able to test it a little bit. He's throwing around the ball. We'll see when he starts juking and put some real pressure on that knee, how it holds up. But this is all good news. I'm just so glad to hear.
Hey, one thing we learned this week, don't come hard at Deshaun Watson. Saw this retweet from Deshaun Tuesday from Fox Sports Radio's Ben Mahler. He said, quote, "Deshaun Watson ain't going to be around for very long. He's going to be destroyed and obliterated again because his body can't handle the vigors of the NFL, unquote. Watson retweeted that and said, LOL, clown.
He's right. What a clown. I mean, if you don't believe in number four, he is just one of those players that, you know, comes on once in a generation, once in a lifetime. He is that good, and he is going to march and lead us to a Super Bowl. I know it's not too much of a prediction or too much. I'm not going off a limb too far, but he has those particular traits. And Ben Mahler doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. And mainly he was probably, whatever he wrote, he was just trying to get that going as far as his piece. I mean, because how could you possibly say that? How could you make a take when you know nothing about his condition? You're not in the training room. You're not with the doctors. You don't know what's going on. You want to throw something against the wall and hope it sticks. That's not the way to do it.
Yeah, if you mean he's going to be destroyed and obliterated, I guess he means because he did it in practice last year when he made a wrong move and nobody touched him. I guess that's his definition of destroyed and obliterated. I don't know what the hell that's all about.
Exactly.
It wasn't just special teams drills on Wednesday. I saw a lot more offensive and defensive drills. Even in minicamp, you can't really see much from the line play with the basically, you know, they're basically just having the shoulder pads on. What I didn't like seeing was Jordan Akins dropping a relatively short pass. He needs to have good hands. Of course, the pass wasn't perfect, but one you'd want to see an NFL tight end make. Now, Chris Thompson, well, he way outdid Akins with the drop he had in the end zone. He was in the end zone. He stopped. He squared up to the football, to the quarterback. The ball hit him between the numbers, and boom, it fell to the ground. At least on Akins' play, he was on the move, crossing the flat. And I'm guessing with the arrival of Johnson Bottomosi, Brian, that Thompson, he just can't rely on this special teams, you know, his special team skills that really helped him make the team last year to happen again this year. He's going to have to make it by catching footballs because new special teams coordinator, I think he could work with the guys that we've got on there. I'm sure he's got that kind of confidence. And Bottomosi obviously was brought in to really help that unit anyway.
Right, right. And that's where he's going to do most of the damage, just like you said. I mean, you know, we heard from Anthony Midget earlier this week, you know, indicating that, you know, his work ethic is definitely up to par, his physicality. You know, when you say something's, you know,
talking about Johnson Bottomosi, of course, not right. Obviously not Chris Thompson.
Chris Thompson, I really do think that he still has a shot to make this team, because he did show us something last year. Kiki Cutie, and I probably mispronounced his name again. I'm going to get it right before the end of the season. He's going to definitely put the heat on Chris Thompson, but I really liked what I saw out of him, and he's going to get a shot here in camp. But let the chips fall where they may. I love competition. Let's see it.
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be a problem for Chris Thompson isn't Kiki Cutie, because Cutie is slot guy. He's made the team. He's a fourth round pick this year. Fourth round picks make the team their first year unless something crazy happens as far as an injury goes, or unless Rick Smith might draft him or Castley. That then it's possible, I guess, that you would make the team as a fourth round pick. But no, Chris Thompson, the guys that he's battling, Vincent Smith, who again looked good. Obviously, Sammy Coates. I mean, that's probably the biggest competition. Braxton Miller, he's going to be in the big fight because he's got Bruce Ellington and now QT in front of him in the slot. I don't see Braxton Miller as an outside guy. I would say they want the versatility of having another outside guy with Will Fuller and DeAndre Hopkins. So if that's the case, then it's between Sammy Coates, Braxton Miller is out. I mean, I'd almost say he's out. You know, maybe there's going to be injury. Maybe somebody can get put on the injured reserve early in the season or something like that. But, you know, I would think that it's going to be Sammy Coates. You know, he's got the lead for that last receiving spot. Thompson, because of his special teams. But I'm thinking they don't need him as much this year with Bottomosi and some of the other guys that they've drafted that have the expertise in special teams, and you got the expertise of a guy that's been to three Super Bowls as a special teams coach and the new special teams coordinator. But Thompson's going to have to catch some footballs. You know, he's going to have to show that he can make some catches on the outside. I don't remember last year his hands being awful, but, you know, he didn't get a whole lot of chances either. You know, so you got to judge him from what you're seeing from him in camp. And this is big for him. It's a huge camp in Chris Thompson's career. You know, he's going to have to really make some progress.
Right, right. And in terms of his play, I mean, in terms of playing time between Kiki Cutie and also what with Chris Thompson, do you think that you're going to see Kiki out there more than Chris Thompson? I know they're going to be doing a little bit of different things. I mean, they're both versatile, but who do you think that you'd see out there more, a fourth round pick or Chris Thompson, who's been through the system for one season already?
Oh, QT, there's no question. First of all, I've talked about it. He's looked great. He's a slot guy. They use slot receivers a lot. I think it's him and Bruce Ellington is going to – those are the two guys that you're going to see a lot in this Texans offense. I mean, Chris Thompson, he's never – he wasn't a great wide receiver really in college. He made the team last year, frankly, on his special teams, and that's his calling card. So, like I said, unless they have to have him for special teams – it's going to be real tough for him this time around. In just a minute, you're going to hear my one-on-one conversation with offensive tackle Julione Davenport. But as always, we got to remind you that if you're enjoying Locked On Texans, tell your friends. Tell them they can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify, most anywhere you're going to find your favorite podcast. Check out more podcasts from our national Locked On network. Go to LockedOnSports.com. That's LockedOnSports.com, our new Locked On Network website. We've got podcasts for every NFL and NBA team, Locked On NFL Draft, Locked On NFL, lots of good shows, all on LockedOnSports.com. That's LockedOnSports.com. All right, who do you Locked On Texans groupies think is the most important Texans player that almost never gets talked about? The guy who comes to mind to me is the big man out of Bucknell, who's the likely starting left tackle in charge of Deshaun Watson's blind side. I'm talking about Julione Davenport, who has restructured his body this offseason. I asked him what he did in this interview. And remember, we heard from offensive line coach Mike Devlin a couple of days ago about the O-line barbecues. So I wanted to get the inside scoop from Davenport about that. I got to know about Mike Devlin's barbecue game. I heard he's been barbecuing for you guys. Tell me about that.
I mean, he's definitely improving there. We hooked him up for Christmas last year with a green egg, the rookies. So it's something I've never even heard of that's, you know, big with smoking and the grilling, all that. So he tells us, like, every week, like, when he does stuff and he comes back and be like, hey, I'm getting it. We finally had a little nice little party, pool party at his house, and he did have some pretty good ribs. So, you know, he's pretty good.
Who's the biggest eater among the O-line?
The biggest eater? I would probably say the biggest eater is probably one of the lightest people in the O-line room. And it's like he can eat a house. The only time I made a bet with him.
Who's that?
Kendall Lamb. I made a bet with him that he wouldn't. We went to eat sushi sometime last year, and it was a whole bunch left. I made a bet, $100 bet, that he wouldn't eat it all, and he ate all of the pieces I gave him and then some. So he can really tear some food down.
Who's the funniest guy? It's early on some of these new guys. You got Sean Henderson. You got Kenny. Who's the funniest?
I mean, that's kind of hard to do because we all, you know, like to keep a nice, calm demeanor in the meeting room and even when we're doing stuff. So we're always cracking jokes on each other, all friendly stuff. But, I mean, if I had to take a guess, it maybe me. I crack a little more jokes than everybody else. But, I mean, we all pretty funny dudes.
What's it mean when you see somebody like Chantrell and what he's had to overcome just to be here, get on the football field again?
Oh, I mean, it's amazing. You know, anytime something like that, of that nature happens to anybody and they're able to overcome it and come back, same with David Quisenberry with his whole deal. You know, it's nothing you wish on anybody, but for them to be able to fight it and beat it is amazing.
Does somebody like Senio Calamete, does he help you? Because he's played every single position on the offensive line. Is he somebody that can help a lot of different people just with all of his knowledge?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, from the first day he got here, the first day I met him, you know, we meshed real well together, and we've been all in each other's heads, you know, talking about my sets, talking about his sets, you know, anything he can teach me, like he gives me word of advice and vice versa, you know, to help with the offense. So he's been a real big help, man, real good dude.
I understand you've done a lot to change your body. Tell me about that process and how you were able to do it.
I mean, you know, definitely the weight room, big part of it, and nutrition as well. So just doing all that and meshing it together, and you got to make sure you stay consistent with it to make sure you make big gains.
How long do you think it takes a group of guys like you to come together? You think you can get this all together by game one and get the chemistry down? And how do you do that so quickly?
I think so for sure. I mean, we're meshing real good right now, just in OTAs and in minicamp. So, like, with us and our camaraderie in the room, it helps us out on the field as well. So we all know a lot about each other, and we're all having a good time out here. You know, like I said, we joke around a lot. It keeps everything calm. So we're doing as best we can.
How was that first year, just getting to know how to be an offensive lineman in the NFL, how to play tackle, and you did get a ton of reps at the end of the year, got to play a couple of games and a lot of snaps?
I mean, it's always, you know, I'm always learning, you know, always out there working and trying to be the best I can. So I take it every day, you know, one step at a time, and try to make big strides as I go, and it never stops. So, I mean, definitely helps to get that experience at the end of the year, and going into year two, I expect myself to make big gains.
Have fun in West Virginia. Good to see you, and good luck this season.
Thank you.
Brian, I wish I had more time to talk with Davenport, but he was a popular man among the media Wednesday, so they were lined up after me. But there was some good stuff in those few minutes there.
Yes, sir, there sure was. And who you're talking to, that's going to be your starting left tackle in week one. No doubt about it. I'm saying it without conviction, without preservation or purpose of evasion. I'm saying it right now that he is going to be the starting left tackle for us, and he's gonna struggle a little bit, but he's gonna do a terrific job, more than what we had last season, who was playing those particular positions, because I don't see any shred or evidence of Chris Clark coming back. We don't know what's gonna happen with Kendall Lamb. It will be interesting. It's interesting that he said that the biggest eater is Kendall Lamb, and that's amazing. And I can relate. I love food, and I'm real sneaky with my food. In fact, I just ate a chicken salad while we've been recording this show. You guys didn't know it. I'm just that good, you know, in terms of eating on the fly and eating quickly. So, you know, I can kind of relate to that as well. So, you know, in terms of, you know, Julian Davenport, you know, the sky's the limit. And, you know, it's so small schools sometimes where you can find a good crop of talent to help your team. And that's where the hard workers are. And I think that's where Bill O'Brien tapped into, you know, when he was doing that draft.
I hope he just got us a new sponsor. He was working on Green Egg Barbecue for us. And if you're out there, we're available. I think we got a guy that can be the spokesperson already. Two guys, maybe both him and maybe Mike Devlin. But I tell you what, the thing that, you know, he's reshaped his body. He's a much bigger guy. You heard from Devlin talking about Chantrell Henderson's just a house. It's totally different than the old days, the Kubiak offensive lines, where they were looking for quick guys under, was it Alex Gibb, I think? Alex Gibb was the guy back then. I mean, they were looking for those smaller guys that, you know, they could move in space, and you were looking for zone block guys. It's definitely getting more that power block type offensive line that I think is what Bill O'Brien has been looking for, if I'm guessing.
Oh, you're talking about Alex Kappa, right? No.
I'm talking about the offensive line coach from
Gibbs.
Kubiak.
Yeah.
I think was it Alex Gibb or Gibbs or something like that, right?
Yeah, Gibbs with an S on the end, if I remember correctly.
Okay.
Because I remember criticizing it whenever we would won't do well. I mean, but there were some times we had some really good teams out there, you know, especially with Eric Winston, you know, holding things down, and Chris Myers and whatnot. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. Just had to get that out.
Yeah, that's basically all I had from Davenport. And it was good stuff. Hopefully we'll get to talk a little bit more with him once the season gets rolling and he gets a little bit more comfortable in that. You can just tell, though, I mean, just being around him, I was around him last year a little bit. He's more comfortable with the media, so that's good to see. But again, it's Julione Davenport. When you look at it, we talked about it a little bit last year. When you look at his name, it looks like Julian. It's pronounced Julione, and that little it's the apostrophe is actually over the E, not between the E and the N. Some people have a hard time, you know, on the keyboard, you got to look at your keyboard and try to figure out how to do that to make the apostrophe go over the letter. But just for those out there that are curious, yeah, we're pronouncing it correctly. It is Julie Owen Davenport. Hey, we're going to tell you about some important news coming out for Texans fans Thursday that you guys, I think, are going to want to know about. There was also a major story from a Texans division rival at the end of the mini camp experience for one of the teams. But before I get into those two stories, want to remind you that if you haven't already, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, email us at LockedOnTexans@mail.com. Forget any of that. Just go to the show description of each podcast. It's all right there in the show descriptions. We always love hearing from you, so please email us a question or record an audio message for us. We'll answer it on the show. We want your voice to be part of the conversation. So email LockedOnTexans@mail.com. That's LockedOnTexans@mail.com. So, Brian, from what I'm hearing, the Texans will announce their training camp dates on Thursday. You looking forward to that? I know you've even thought about going out there for this one.
Yeah, I'm looking at churning things up and seeing how I can get out there and where I'm going to stay. I just hadn't had a moment to sit down and look at all that, but I would love to go to Texas training camp up in West Virginia. I mean, the weather should be nice, should be a lot cooler. They have made it very difficult intentionally for fans to get there, because it's going to be a drive wherever you fly into. Or if you drive, you're going to be going through a lot of country, a lot of hills, a lot of nothing until you finally get up to the Greenbrier. So, I just want to be there just to kind of connect with those fans that are actually going to be attending, as well as to see how these players are doing and how we're going to be looking for, at the start of the season.
We're going to tease something here for a bit. We're going to talk a little bit about training camp when those dates come out. And we're going to have one of our friends come on the show who's been to training camp, our friend Jordan Brown, who helps us out with LockedOnTexans.com. He's going to come in and talk about his experience last year. So you're going to want to listen to that show. We think the dates are coming out tomorrow. This would be Thursday. So not long after that, we're going to have a show about that experience and maybe what to expect for those of you that maybe are thinking about making that trip. We also finally got some real video of Andrew Luck throwing a football, Brian. I had the choice of either watching that or video of the Loch Ness Monster somebody sent me today. They're about the same chances that you would see either one of those two things happening.
Yeah. I mean, has the world gone topsy-turvy? He's throwing a football out there. It's actually going to be a team that's going to be competitive this year. But again, until he's been cleared, to do everything he needs to do to go out there and be effective and to help his team win, I'm going to take that with a grain of salt and assume that Jacoby Brissett is going to be the starter in week one.
It's going to be a great division if Andrew Luck's healthy, Deshaun Watson's healthy, Marcus Mariota can stay healthy. It could be a really interesting division, but it's quarterbacks kind of teetering on the brink of, can they keep it together for a whole season? We got to see it from all three of those guys.
Oh, absolutely. And, I'm just going to be loving these position battles. We've got a few, particularly the one at tight end. I really think, just off of what you described to me with Jordan Akins, that he's going to win the job. Because, again, like we talked about in past pods, just because you've been on the team, just because you are familiar with the system more, doesn't necessarily mean you should make the team just by that. It's about the best players being out there. And, there's a reason why, you invested in Jordan Akins in the third round. Yeah, you might as well just go on and use him. And then you got Jordan Thomas, the Jordans, as you've referred them to, you can develop him as a tight end, and then you can use him in a variety of different ways.
It's sad. I wanted to see one more mini camp. I wanted to see one more look, just take one more look at the guys out there, but it's not going to happen. But we're not going anywhere. It's going to be a few weeks before training camp. We're going to keep coming at you. We're daily. We might back off maybe a show a week or something like that. Who knows? But we're definitely going to be coming at you a few days a week still as the off season rolls along. Before we wrap it up, we got to mention, of course, House of Houston. Brian's got it all covered. Rockets, Astros, Texans, Houston Cougars. It's all over there on houseofhouston.com. My Houston Sports Talk podcast, easy to find on iTunes and most anywhere you listen to your podcast. Jimmy Price, AstrosFuture.com, the expert on the Astros minor league system. Also, RG, my co-host and I, we got into it a little bit, not only on the Astros, but on the LeBron James situation. That's going to be playing out over the next 2 or 3 weeks as we head into July, waiting to see what decision that he makes. Also, when you're done listening to today's Locked On Texans, make sure to rate us on iTunes or Stitcher, wherever you're listening to us. Rate us there. Let us know what you think, what you might suggest, and we'll definitely take it all to heart. That's all we got for this one. As always, thanks for making us a part of your week.
You are Locked On Texans, your daily Houston Texans podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.